All right, we are starting our third year as Enriched Church this year, and it's amazing to see like what God has done over the years. So Meredith and I, we're never planning to plant a church. We're never planning to start a church in our entire lives. My career prior to this was all in higher education. So I was in higher ed for over a decade. I was loving my career. I was like getting to impact students' lives, a lot of mentorship, leadership development. I had a great salary. We had our housing provided for us. It was like, we were like living the dream. And we just kept moving forward. And then as at a point, you know, you need to like shift in your career. You need to like move up and move out and up. And I was entering that space in my career. I had applied to a really sweet job. We would have been living at the beach at a university. It would have been amazing. I'd have made a lot more money. It would have been a cool career. So I had applied, and Meredith and I didn't have peace about it. And we prayed, and we felt like God said, take your application out of the process. And I was like, what? I was like, I know people, I'm moving through the process. There was two jobs open, a third one opened up. Like the chances of getting the job were like pretty high. And so we prayed and it felt like God to take it out. So we said, okay. So I took my application out of the process. The people on the other side were very surprised and concerned and like, why are you doing this? And so I was like, okay, God, like you asked us to do this. So what do you want us to do? So I had a hunch it might have been church planting, because I had gone to Fuller Seminary prior and we were part of a church plant. I'd taken a church plant class and I helped start a church plant student group on campus. And I felt at that time, like, I think in the future, like we're supposed to plant a church. But fast forward almost like, you know, 10 years later, and this is where it begins to take place. And so I said, okay, God, if you're wanting us to do this, I'm going to fast and pray and I want a sign from you. So I said this to him. I said, I want you to give me this Bible verse from you. And it's from Matthew chapter 9. So it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of sickness and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, and this is the phrase, I said, God, I want this phrase from you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then it goes on to finish. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. And so I went through my fast, and guess what God said to me? Nothing. I didn't get a confirmation, but I said, okay, like, I know you're gonna answer me. And I don't know if you heard like Elijah's story where it was like he's on the mountain and like there was the fire and the earthquake, but God didn't speak through those things. It was like that small, quiet voice. That verse kind of came across a few times in my fast, but it wasn't like I felt like, oh, this isn't like God speaking. But then a week after the fast, we were at our church we were a part of prior, and the lead pastor opens up the verse, and guess what he starts reading? That exact verse. I'm not a big crier. But when he read the verse, I just started weeping right there. And the Holy Spirit was like, this is your confirmation. So we got in the car and I said, hey, Meredith, God confirmed it. We're going to plant a church. And she was like, okay. And that kind of began our process of us moving in that direction. So for the first 6 months, there was not a lot of action. I got out some of my church planting books from seminary. I started reading some things again. Meredith was like, you may hear her sides at some point, but we're going to leave the job. We're going to do all this stuff. Like, I don't even feel called to church planting. So she had to go through her own process of God calling her. And then when we popped around to the new year, we did a 40-day Daniel fast together. And we said, God, prepare us and prepare the way. And when we started in our fast and started praying, God started bringing like all these people and organizations out of nowhere. Like, we didn't know anyone for any of this stuff, but God began to connect us with all these people and he began to make the way. I don't know if you've seen Indiana Jones when he has to like get to one side over the other and there's like a big like chasm between the two sides, but then like he steps and there's a step there and he blows it and you can see the dust like blows off like the steps that are there. It was kind of like that. We were like, we don't know where to go, but we're stepping. And every time we stepped, there was a stone where our feet could land. And so we started through this process and we ended up transitioning from our church, and we had made a commitment that we wouldn't take people from other churches, because we really believe, like, if you're part of your church, stay there and stay connected. And so we began to fast and pray over a month's period, saying, okay, God, connect us with, like, all the people you want to be part of what you're doing. And I remember our first meeting, we had met in our apartment where we lived on campus. And y'all, can y'all guess how many people we had at our first meeting?
20?
Between 0 and 20, it was, I think we had like four people there. And, you know, it was through these crazy divine appointments that we got connected with people. One guy met at Starbucks, he had come. And so we didn't have an amazing worship person like Brianna who would like lead us in worship. We had the speaker. So we had like worship through the speaker. And within 10 minutes, I kid you not, one of the guy I met at Starbucks I built a relationship with, he gets up in the middle of the worship song and he's like, my aunt called me. I have to go pick up my like niece and nephew or whatever. And he like leaves. And I said, Meredith, I was like, he'll be back. Don't worry. She's like, he'll never be back. And guess what? Never came back. And I didn't like, oh man, that was our first gathering. If someone leaves in the middle, like 25% of the people leave. And so, but we just keep meeting like faithfully. So we're out like in the beginning, we would go to parks on the weekends and set up like a spin raffle booth and like connect with parents. We were going to the farmer's market. We were just trying to get traction and then meeting students and people as we would go. And then we began to get like a few more people would join us. And then after about like 4 or 5 months, we were praying and we felt like God said, get out of your apartment and get into a park. And we're like, a park? I've never known a church has met at a park. I don't want to meet at a park. Like, who meets at a park? And so we went to every single park in our city and we walked all the parks, like praying and saying, okay, God, like, where do you want us to start? And so if y'all were here at the beginning, y'all remember this, McGuire's remember there the first day, we met over at Dalton Park on the other side of Azusa, and it was a good spot for the season. I mean, we were like right on the road, so it was like, it's pretty loud. And I always remember like the SWAT team that came by one day with like hanging off their SWAT vehicles because they were responding to something. And it was like, it was cool. And we had a lot more pop-ups because we had much shade, and it was like a good start. And I think we had like, I don't know, like 15 people that were coming in the beginning. Maybe 20 on like a good day. Some of the days we had like 5 people come. It was just like ebbed and flowed. And before we went to the park, start there, it was the LA County Park. So I called LA County and I said, hey, we want to meet at this park. We're a church, everything. And they said, oh yeah, it's first come, first serve. You can just show up. You don't need a permit or anything. So we were meeting there for like, I don't know, like 6 or 8 months. And all of a sudden this guy comes up and he starts talking to us and he says, hey, do you have a permit? And I said, well, I called and everything. They said, don't need one. He's like, well, I've been like watching you guys for several weeks, taking notes. And like, I had to report you guys to LA County. And so I give them a call the next day. And they're like, oh yeah, you just need to fill out this form and then submit it. And we'll like look at it and figure it out. So I submit the form and they get back to me and they say, oh yeah, you can't meet at the park. We're understaffed and we can't have someone there on Sunday to like watch you while you guys meet. And I'm like, why do you need someone to like watch us while there's like 25 of us meeting in a park? And so they basically said, you can't meet there anymore. And that was when, like, y'all know our connect question was like the hardest thing you ever faced or like a big challenge in the week. That set off a series of events that took place. So I don't know if y'all like watch just different Netflix stuff or movies, but like witchcraft is like super involved in our culture now. And it was like the day before that happened. And I could show you the picture if you want to see this. Someone threw a witchcraft doll out like in our street by our house. And that set off like a series of just like really bad, unfortunate events. We got kicked out of the park the next day. When we got home from church gathering, this giant swarm, I can show you the video, of thousands of bees came in our backyard and took up residence. One of our church credit cards got hacked and was like being spent on all these different things. It was like all these crazy things started happening. And so we had about 5 weeks of really intense spiritual warfare. And then there was this break that took place. And then all of a sudden, like, things started unfolding. Some of the cool things unfolded is we got kicked out of the park and we got to this park, which this park is so much, if y'all were at the other park and come here, like, this park is so much better. And so God turned that around for good. One of the other things that happened, and they're not here today because they're over in Canada, but y'all know Ethan and Jen. So we ended up connecting with Ethan through a series of events and pitched the idea to him, like, hey, we'll train you guys in, like, church planting, disciple making. Join us for a year and we'll help you guys get off the ground even more, because they had just started up recently over in Arcadia. So they joined us for a year. And then a couple months after that, I was driving to meet with Anthony. We're meeting up once a month. And I had a word in my heart for about a year that I felt like he was called to plant a church. So I was just like praying over that word for a year. And on my drive there, the word, Lord was like, share that word with him. And I was like, okay. So we're meeting at Starbucks and I was like, hey man, like, God put something in my heart a while back, like a year ago, but I feel like when I was on the drive here, like, to share it with you. So I was like, discern this however you want. So I share with him that word, and he said, oh, it's crazy because, like, the past Sunday at his church, he saw a vision of himself planting a church. And so that began a series of him and Brianna processing that and their family and the dynamics that they navigated through. And then they're here with us for 2 years, and they started up Roots Church down in Bellflower a couple weeks ago. And that's where we'll be in a few weeks to go and prayer walk their region with them. And then I was discipling this guy named Christian, who I knew through Humboldt, and he ended up graduating from Cal Poly and going back there. And then I get this text from this dude I didn't know. His name is Jaden. And he was like, hey man, I don't have a church or mentor. Can we meet up? And at this point, like, I've told him this, you know, I was like, man, I'm stacked. I don't really have time to, like, take on other people at this point, but I felt like meet with him. So I walk into Starbucks. I don't even know who he was. I never seen a picture, but I look over and I see Jaden, but I don't know it's him. And I thought the Lord said, you're going to meet with him. And I was like, okay, but I don't know if it's him. So I walk over and end up being Jaden. And so the Lord had confirmed my heart when I walked in. And so it was crazy because he was in a season where, like, God was working in amazing ways. And he just, God connected me to journey alongside him. And then Chloe's here too. They're getting married in how many days? You're like, I'll be there on the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. And they were, like, processing things that God was doing in their life. And then a couple months out, Jaden and I are meeting over at Starbucks over by IKEA, and he's like, I want to start a church when I go back. And I was like, what? Okay, cool. So we began to transition our discipleship of how do you start a church. And so they started up their church. You guys have a name yet? Still in process? Okay. But they started up probably like over a month ago now, right? Yeah, almost 2 months. And they've been gathering a bunch of young people their age, part of the my generation. Jaden likes to pull that on me sometimes. He's like, my generation. So those Gen Zers. And so it's been amazing to see God start these different churches through people that he's connecting. And then, I mean, I could go around and just share a lot of people's stories of how I know y'all been transformed by Jesus in different ways, but we'll have a space for that after this. And so as we've just, like, kept seeking Jesus and being faithful to him, like, he keeps showing us every step of the way. And I'll be honest with you, I have wanted to quit in Rich Church 7 times. One of them was this year during some of the really hard, difficult things. Starting a church from scratch, I don't know if y'all have started a business before, different things, but starting a church from scratch with no one is pretty challenging. And not only that, but, like, Satan doesn't want anybody to come to know Jesus or have their lives or their marriages or their families or, like, they're like this, them being transformed by his love and his power or seeing, like, things redeemed in their lives. I'll tell you this, Satan first hates people coming to know him, coming to salvation. The second thing he hates is them being freed and healed and made whole. And the third thing he hates is those people actually discipling other people. So we've learned, like, man, everything is going to work against us to try and get us out of this thing. But we stuck it out. We've had some great people come alongside of us, like Casey and Angela, who've been supporters with us from the actually, but when it was an idea, they were standing with us in prayer and support us financially too on the journey, and come when we're like, hey, can you help us out get tacos? And then Casey volunteers Angela to go get them, and they delegate in their marriage and stuff. So that's just, like, one of the great couples that's been standing with us through this whole journey. And when we started off in Rich, like, we were just planning to plant one church. And then it's, like, crazy that God is beginning to plant multiple churches. And then we have people who are growing in him, and they're starting Discovery Bible studies with their family and friends who don't know Jesus. And so we're starting to see more people come to know Jesus through that. something that's super cool is since we've started, our first baptisms was Laura and Nate, Nate couldn't make it today, but they were our first baptisms. And then now we're, as in Rich Church, we're at 15 baptisms, which is like pretty powerful that we've seen that many people want to make that commitment to Jesus, which is super cool. And so as we've been journeying this thing, like in a way, like we have no idea what we're doing or where we're going. It's kind of like being in the desert in the Exodus, and it's like, all right, God, we're going to just follow your pillar of fire and your pillar of cloud. We're just going to like follow you. Where this whole thing, we know where it's going down the direction is in the fall. It was Anthony and me and a couple of the guys. We were at this church planning conference, and I was in one of the main sessions, and God just like dropped this word in my heart. And I felt like he said this. He said, plant 100 plus multiplying churches as your first benchmark. So I wrote that down, and I was like, plant 100 plus churches that will multiply. Like, I don't know how to do that. And so what we began to do is we just began to take it to prayer and take it to fasting and prayer and really seeking the Lord. And so some of us this summer, we did a 10-day fast. Anthony and I did a 10-day water fast. Ethan did a 10-day broth, and some other people joined in that. And we basically said, okay, God, you want to start 100 plus multiplying churches. We're going to start by humbling themselves and getting on our faces and seeking you for how you want to do this. So what's super cool is this year, if you don't know this, we actually started a church planting network. So Jaden and Chloe, Anthony and Brianna, Ethan and Jen, Meredith and I, as church leaders of different churches, we come together as a network, a family of churches, to strengthen in one another and be in unity together and plant more churches by discipling more people and leading them to Jesus. What's cool too is on the side, a part of what I do is I train other pastors in what we do, how to simply multiply disciples, churches, and leaders. And so we trained, I think like eight or nine guys, because I work with the men of the churches, the pastors. And after I train them, I say, hey, you can be part of what we're calling a DMM alliance. So it's a disciple-making movement, which basically means, which I learned later in all this, is you plant 100 churches and thousands of people come to know Jesus. So it's crazy. I got the word he told me of a plant 100 plus multiplying churches. So it's aligning with what he actually wants to do. And so five of these guys that have trained, they've said yes to being part of the DMM alliance. And so there's five guys that are seeking to do what we're doing. They're all different contexts. A lot of them have what are called buildings where they meet for their churches. We meet in our trees. People meet in houses. So it's kind of cool that like the churches, which is the people of God, it's not the building, right? We're meeting all these different contexts. And so there's nine churches now, the four of us in our network and five in our alliance, that are moving together in the direction of starting a disciple-making movement here in Southern California. And this fall, I told Jaden this. I said, Jaden, you're invited, but you're not invited because you're getting married like the week before. But we're going to gather as leaders for our DMM Alliance and our network to basically pray and strategize and train on how we're going to look at planting these 100-plus multiplying churches here in Southern California and beyond. So if you look around here, I had this realization, I think it was like last Sunday, I think I might have told this to you, Justin, when we hung out last week. I said, when I look at Enrich, I think we're a church of leaders. Because if you look around, like everybody here is a leader, like most everybody's in discipleship or discipling other people in groups or one-on-one. And so we're really unique, because if you've been to other churches, it's like a lot of it is like you come, you sit, you hear a message, that's to give money and maybe come to sing, and then you go home. But here it's like we literally design everything to train people to make disciples. Because the connect question that we did, that's actually an intentional part of what we do. One, it builds relationships so people get to know each other and no one feels like left out, everyone's included. But also, it's how do you start a casual conversation with someone that leads to a meaningful conversation, that leads to a spiritual conversation. Because if you can ask someone a question like we do every week, then you can start building bridges with people. And so everything we designed here to do is basically raise you up as leaders. And if you look at a lot of the circle or the people we have in the middle here, you're actually looking at a lot of future church leaders. And so a lot of people here will see themselves starting kind of what, you know, what Jaden and Chloe have done, what Anthony and Brian are doing, Ethan and Jen are doing. It's these like simple churches, 8 to 12, 15 people that meet together as a church and worship Jesus and seek to go out and live in his name, sharing the gospel with other people. So that, in short, in a snapshot, is the Enrich Church story. And this is only year 2. And something that encourages me is like, hey, 10 years from now, like, so if you add 8 years, like when we hit year 10, like how many churches will have Jesus have started? Like how many people have been baptized and how many people's lives and marriages and families and like their personal lives and our single people we're praying for to get married over here, like Justin and George, we're praying for you guys, right? Because God has a design and a will for all of us to live into, and it's different for everyone. But what unifies us together in Jesus is our call to all go and make disciples. That's literally the thing that he says you're to do with your life is make disciples, and everything falls under that. So part of the Enrich Church story, and the main part of the story, is everybody here, because the church is the people. And so what we're going to do is we're going to create a space for people to come up and share, and I'm going to continue to record this because it'll be cool to capture these stories. And here's the simple question we want you guys to answer is, how has Jesus most impacted or transformed your life by being part of his church here at Enrich Church? And so if today's your first day, you can take a pass. You went, my first day, I'm just going to hang out. Or if you've been here a few times and you still feel like you've been impacted, like come up and share. Or if you've been with us from like day one, like feel free to come up and share. So any kiddos, you're also welcome to share. But the whole idea of this is to point us all to Jesus and the work that he's done in our lives and how he's transformed us, and to give him the glory and to encourage other people in faith, to be strengthened in your faith, to hear like how everybody's been impacted. So I prepped a few people that will be doing this. Hopefully some of y'all are ready to like kick us off. And Casey's gonna come up and share first. Thanks, Casey.
All right. This is interactive and participatory for the children as well. I need you to take your two hands, hold them above your head, and then take your hands and put them in your pockets and pull out whatever is in your pockets.
I don't have anything in my pockets.
You don't have anything. You have shoes in your hands. It's perfect. Why? What do you have that's on you? Some people have more. I've got a phone. I've got keys.
Nothing. I don't carry things.
You have nothing, but you have toys in your hand. Put the toys in your hand and just open it up. Here is my story of Enrich. As I watched Jared and Meredith put their hands in the air and say, Lord, it's all yours. And then I watched them reach their hands in their pockets and go, here, Lord, you can have this too. And my invitation for all of us, especially our kids here today, is to recognize that if you don't have anything in your hands, you have enough. You don't have to have anything in your hands.
I don't have anything.
Nothing.
I don't even have pockets.
And you have something. But the most beautiful thing for all of us is a lot of us have good excuses. I don't have enough. I'm not good enough. I don't have anything to give. But I want you to see the model. What makes Enrich is if I can give the Lord my phone, I can give the Lord my car. But that's not what the Lord wants. What the Lord wants is the riches of your heart and your life. And so when you put your hands up and you're a part of Enrich, that's what we're doing. And it's been easy to come alongside the Votovs. It's been easy to come alongside those that join, because every week when we gather, we simply open our hands and we say, Lord, whatever I have, it's yours. So it's a joy for us when we get to show up, because we're not here every week, but when we are here, we show up and we just go, Lord, take it. It's my message. It's what Enrich has given to me.
So what Casey's talking about is what God had to take me through when we first started this a year ago, where in my mind, I thought, I want to go where God wants me to go. So in my mind, I thought, when the kids are all grown up, we're going to go move to some third world country and we'll go live there for 10 years and we'll do missions. And God said, you're doing it now and you're doing it right here. I was like, okay, I will follow you, Lord. I will do whatever you want. But it was painful. It was a really hard season, and I just trusted that he was going to make it okay. And the testimony is that he did, and I feel like I'm just in like the most joyful season of my life I've ever been in. And this whole past year has been the Lord kind of like emptying me of things, healing me of different areas in my life that needed healing and needed pruning. For example, just a story. I was in my car. The kids were screaming in the back of the car. I was so frustrated that I yelled, "Be quiet!" But I used meaner words than that, which I don't usually do, but it just came out. And then I realized, oh my goodness, there's something in me that should not be in me. And so I've seen the power of discipleship through Enrich, because I was able to call Meredith and say, "Hey, could you please help me? I don't know how to change myself. I've tried and I can't do it in my own strength. I've tried everything and I can't change myself. I need help." And so it was really awesome to have her disciple me and walk me through an encounter with Jesus. And I have not struggled with that at all since then. So it was like, oh, that it felt like it was just, you know, healed in that moment. And what else was I going to say? Oh, another thing God did, there's been a lot of stuff, but I'll just say this one last thing. Evangelism, you know, I had thought, I don't want to do that. That's scary. I'm not an evangelist. Someone else is an evangelist. They can go do it, you know. And God kind of walked me through his word, like, no, like I've called everyone to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. Not certain people, like everybody who, if you want to be a disciple, you have to do that. I mean, he's walked me through that. So that I've come to a place where I'm not doing it reluctantly. I'm actually, I feel like I want to do it. And I just feel like I'm in a healthy place where I'm no longer doing things in obedience because I feel like I just have to do them, but I actually want to obey him. So that's been more of a gradual thing that he's done in me. And it's just been made more possible through discipleship. That's all.
All right. Jared did not give me a heads up, so I'll try to organize my thoughts here. I'll just pick off where he left me with, I texted you. So I don't know if you know this, but that was not even a full year ago. That's in, I believe, 2 days was when I first sent the text to you about wanting to get discipled by you or like meet with you. And I guess like to follow through that, I think what really separates like Enrich from other churches and what captivated me and really changed me is the personal level that Jared kind of gets and shows to people that, you know, you're not feeling like another number or person or individual within a large group of people. And I think there's not a lack of young adult groups that I could have went to. And I could have probably fit in with people, but I think if I went that route, I wouldn't have had personal relationships where someone would walk with me and walk through the things in life that I need to get out of me and be healed and be set free. And I think ever since from that meeting, when we finally met, Jared has helped me walk through it and taught me how to be a leader. And that's one of the things I felt really convicted by before I even knew Christ, was I knew I was called to do something in as a leadership role. And Jared really helped me through Enrich, learning how to disciple others. I didn't even know what that meant, of just like being a leader for others, walking with people, and kind of giving me the vision of probably like how Jesus went around and like being personal with people to set them free and live it out in a lifestyle. And this, I think, Enrich is like the first time I was really exposed to what that really looks like as far as walking with Christ. And I guess, yeah, I keep it short. I guess another thing is just fasting has really changed my life. I don't hear about other churches fasting as much as Enrich does. And it's funny because when I chose to come here, I actually did my first fast to see if this would be the church that I would choose. Because I think I had maybe not like complete options, but I was thinking like maybe this isn't it, or had doubts. But I think the fasting and really committing that and surrendering it to God was what really confirmed like this is where I'm meant to be. And Jared kind of told the rest of the story, like played out, got a beautiful fiance, healed a lot of stuff in the past, that he was able to, him and Meredith are able to walk us through of just what that looks like of having that covenant with God. And then us coming together and realizing we have people in our life where we can share what we learned here and bring it back home to people we love as well. So yeah, that's pretty much, there's a lot more, but that's like the basis of what Enrich has done for me this not even full year yet, like 11 months and some change. So yeah, thank you.
Hey everyone, I know this is a 2-year anniversary for Enrich, but personally this is like a 2-year anniversary for me too, just church period, going to church at all. Just kind of reflecting on the transformation in my own life. I think most of you have already heard parts of my testimony. I was, before Enrich, I was kind of at a crossroads in my life, totally the end of myself. I wasn't really a believer, but some situations in my life kind of, I was confronted with, I need something more. I need something more than me, which made me reach for God. And then the wheels just started turning. And then the opportunity to join Enrich was presented to me through a divine appointment, through meeting Meredith, through a homeschooling channel. And we've been with Enrich from day one. From just when I first started to believe. And so it's just thinking back on like who I was 2 years ago even versus today is huge. And I just credit it all to Jesus and all to just the obedience of the leaders here and the members here to walk with people closely. I definitely feel like I was cared for by God to be put into a church that was so small, so that I wasn't lost in the shuffle of like a big building church. And and I would say one of the most impactful things for me was being invested in by Meredith for a season, and doing a lot of just learning my identity in Christ, and a lot of healing. I didn't realize how much healing needed to be done inside of me. So it felt like just kind of a sweet long season of therapy with Jesus and Meredith walking closely with me. When we got to the end of that season, I kind of just felt like I woke up one day and realized how free and healed I felt, that it also made me realize I had the capacity now to worry less about myself and to invest in other people. And that's something that Enrich does here a lot, focusing on discipleship and investing in other people and relationships and walking closely. And so I was really inspired and touched by how somebody invested in me, and it really inspired me to start investing in other people, particularly other women and our family. And so I've just seen like my heart grow in compassion for other people and wanting them to know and discover Jesus like I had, even if it's later in life. And so I've just seen now we're doing a weekly family Bible study, and half of the members that come don't even believe yet, but they're open. And just seeing all the work that God's been doing in our family, our marriage, our kids, my life. I just credit a lot of that to the good example here. And I'm just excited to see how it continues to unfold. Yeah.
Well, so, excuse me. My name is Anthony. For all of my, as I grew up a believer, Christian, so for all of my Christian life, I knew, oh, I should share my faith with people. It was kind of one of those things that it's like, I know I should do it, and I never did it. I was just afraid. I remember I had a friend in high school who was not a Christian, one of my best friends, and I would have this thought a lot, like, I should tell him about Jesus, and I would get nervous, and then I never did it for like the 4 years of high school. And so it was around the time that Jared invited us to Enrich, I think a little bit before, God was really prompting on my heart through like some of the conversations Jared and I were having to just tell people about Jesus. And so I'd be like biking to work, I'd be out and about, and I'd feel the Holy Spirit say like, that person. I'd be like, nope, nope, that's scary. And God really convicted me over time. We would study this passage, I think it's in Luke, of the cost of following Jesus. And Jesus says, if you're not willing to give up everything, you can't be my disciple. And he convicted me that there were some things I was willing to do and some things I was willing to say yes to. And there were other things that I was like, no, I'm actually going to do it my way. And I'm actually not going to do what you asked me to do. And so he brought me to this decision point in prayer of, okay, am I really willing to be a disciple and to follow, even if that means I have to do whatever you ask me to do? And I really had to wrestle through that in prayer because I didn't know what he was going to ask. Like, he could ask me anything. He could ask me to, you know, give up anything. But I eventually came to the point where I told him, yes, Lord, like, I'm actually willing to say yes to whatever you ask me to do. And I think growing up in church, a lot of it was like, oh, Jesus loves me, he wants me to have a good life and all these things. But I started seeing that, you know, through Enrich, that he's actually asking me to take up my cross and to sacrifice my life for other people. And he's going to meet my needs. He's going to love me. He's going to provide for me. But to sacrifice. So I really grew at Enrich through sharing my faith and actually finding joy in that, and figuring out how to do it, how to offer to pray for people, how to share stories from the Bible with people. And every time pretty much that I've done it, people have been open and receptive and excited. And it's blessed me. It's filled me. So and I think on top of that, I figured out once you do that with somebody, how do you keep investing in them? Like a lot of people have said, how do you disciple people through that process? And so I've grown a lot in that way. And it just feels really good to, you know, for my whole life, I've felt like, oh, this is something I know I should do, but there's kind of this guilt that I've never, never done it, never had the courage to do it. And now it's something that I'm able to do on a regular basis with anybody that I run into. And so that feels really good to just walk fully in obedience to Jesus. So that's how I've gone.
Are you going to share
something there?
Hello, people.
Come here.
Goodbye, people.
I just thought that I would quickly introduce myself. This is my first time here. I'm Richard, and this is my family here, my oldest daughter, Della, and my wife, Ella, and my son-in-law. So question came up. So what was the most difficult this week, and what's the most difficult overall? I would have to think, you know, raising a family. When we first got married, I didn't have a job. And so there are certain things, how does Jesus play into your life? So you have to, like, sometimes consider that perhaps you were guided somehow. I remember not having a job, falling asleep, and then somehow the TV was still on, and I heard 485 LAPD. And in the morning, I called that number, and before you know it, I'm taking tests, physical tests, written tests. And it took 8 to 9 months to get through that process, and you finally get in the Los Angeles Police Department. And then you have to get through the academy. Very challenging. And so I just want to share, how do you get through 30 years of a very violent city like Los Angeles? How does that happen? I've often thought about that. I think about it once a week, once a month. How did I get through that without getting seriously injured, without killing someone? How do you get through a very violent career like that? So you have to, I have to think, if not Jesus, then he applied some guardian angel, because it was challenging. The gun, you're in Los Angeles, it's very violent, so your gun's out 3, 4, 5 times a day. And fortunately, I never killed anybody. You have to try to find remedies. You have to try to find alternative solutions. For me, I found that I could use a taser. Afterwards, everybody's healthy. That was one of the tools I used to get through it. I just wanted to take a very short period. I don't want to interrupt anybody's tacos but that's how perhaps I think about how Jesus or plays into my life. What is that role? And I would have to think someone was watching over me.
Hi, my name's Chloe. I'm Jaden's fiance. So 2 years ago, okay, 2 years ago, Laura, I don't know where she went, but, oh, there you are. 2 years ago is actually this month, an anniversary of when I surrendered my life to Christ too, which is so interesting. Like, 2 years ago, I finally stopped living in a lukewarm way of, you know, living in a relationship with Christ, and I finally surrendered everything, and it completely changed my life, but there was still so much brokenness that the sin had left in me. And so that really didn't change until a fast that had led Jaden to Enrich and to Jared, and which then introduced me, and then that's when I really was healed in so many ways through Enrich and through Meredith and Jared pouring into me and pouring into Jaden and I. And I think that that's what really sets Enrich apart from a lot of churches that I've been to. Is, I think everybody here has said it too, it's the way that they invest into people and the way that they really are intentional with the people that come here and the people they speak to. And I know that that's the Holy Spirit leading them, and that's really Jesus. And they're just two people giving out their hands, like Casey had said, and giving Jesus their yes. And that's what I've learned, because I've watched them. I've been like watching them, and I see that they just give their yes to Jesus in everything that they do. And that's what produces all the fruit that that we're seeing today, people sharing their stories. And so, man, I think it's just showed me how much I want to do that too. I think anybody can do that. Anybody can give their yes to Jesus. You don't need to be super skilled in anything. You don't need to be, you could think maybe, oh, I'm not a leader or I'm an introvert. But in reality, all you have to do is just love Jesus enough to give him your yes. So I think that's what's really burned in my heart. And also the way that I've been healed in so many ways. I've had a lot of past trauma with my family too, and just my life growing up, and that I didn't even know was there until I really stepped into this church and Meredith guiding me through it. And I didn't know it was there, and it came out, and he healed me in so many ways. Jesus did. And he protected my future kids. That's a promise he gave me, was protecting my future kids. And so I think I would have never gotten that promise over my future children if it wouldn't have been through all the connections. And so that's something I'm so grateful for too. And also just the way that they've guided us through premarital counseling. I really don't know how people get married without learning the things and tools that we did. I was like, oh man, thank the Lord that I'm learning the things now, because that would be hard. So I'm so grateful for that. And then also fasting, as Jaden said. I've watched the way that they have humbled themselves, and not only in their spirits, but in their physical bodies too. I think that's very important. And so, yeah, humbling yourselves physically and fasting and making that a part of your lifestyle. And I've seen that, and I've picked that up, and I'm so thankful for that. And it's really changed my life in so many ways. And so, yeah, I see two leaders who remind me so much of Jesus, and I see them, and I want to be like Jesus, and I want to be like them, and that's what's really changed me. That's what how Enrich has changed me. So.
Hi, my name is Richie. First time caller, long time listener. I'm just kidding. I've come up here before. But yeah, I think Jared does need to get a new phone, because I was looking for the text that was saying, hey, here's a heads up to talk about this, and it didn't go through. So you might want to get that checked out. Yeah. I think you need to get an iPhone. So, but no, I worked with Jared at APU before this. So we got connected actually talking about investments. And so we were actually talking regularly and had gone hikes, and we went on one hike. And I remember him telling me about, you know, looking for other jobs, and telling me he turned down that, he was going to take his name out for the running for that other position. And so, which I was happy. I was like, yeah, cool. Stay at APU. Like, you don't need to go to one of those other schools. So I was excited to continue to work with Jared. And then as we continued to talk, you know, he started telling me about the church planning and just kind of that whole process. And so, I got to see just kind of how that, you know, that challenge that came with that, and how big of a, it was, could seem like, you know, something, a lot of unknowns going into it. And so I remember Jared telling me about it, and I was waiting for him to invite me to be like, hey, you should come to the church or come do it. And he was like, yeah, well, we're trying not taking people that are part of a church. And I was like, you know, we're kind of dropping hints. I'm like, we're kind of looking for a church. We're kind of trying to find somewhere new. And he didn't do it. And finally I just had to ask him, be like, all right, I'm going to come out. And then, so I came out the first day, to Enrich, and, you know, it wasn't really like anything too, or wasn't necessarily committed. It was like, let's just check it out. It was really convenient. It was like 2 minutes from my house. Like, I live like a block away, so I was able to walk when we were at Dalton Park, and so that was really nice. And then I think the second week we're like, okay, let's come back again. Back then we had name tags if you were like a volunteer, and Jared already had a name tag printed out for me. So it's kind of one of those things, you know, you're just like voluntold, that you're like, oh, I guess I'm helping out now that I got a name tag. And so it was really easy for me to help out at the time. We just had Reggie. So that first like year, even when Jen was pregnant, it was pretty easy. And then once we had the second kid, it got a lot harder. So it went from being able to, and also just being down the street, not have to get like two kids ready. It was really easy to kind of come and just eat. Usually I think I do more of the ushering or greeting, type of thing, but, got to see it from the beginning of really building up to being like, yeah, you know, we had 10, 15, 20 people. And sometimes you have like a really big group where it was like 25 people. And then you go back to the next Sunday and be like 10 people, because people were out or didn't come. And then, we're going through the park, and that park was, I think, a little bit busier as far as like just people being out and about. And so, you know, being able to go and just get that experience of just being able to share with people. I grew up in the church, and so kind of always had that, but I never really had like a testimony on deck. I kind of felt like it was something that, I'll be honest, I had a really boring testimony, just kind of growing up in the church. I didn't have anything that was like exciting or be like life-changing where you kind of had that. So I really just kind of was like, yeah, I don't really have a testimony. And so with being part of Enrich, got to just kind of practice that, and being at the farmer's market, where now I feel prepared for if I do talk to someone about Christ, I have something a little bit more kind of ready and on deck. So that's definitely been transformational. And I think a lot of things, and kind of the same theme I was hearing, right, is like, we're not just trying to talk the talk, right? We're trying to walk the walk. And I know I'm not always, it's a way easier to do to talk about it and say like, yeah, it sounds great in person and on paper, and then you go to do it and it's a lot more difficult to actually do, or a lot, you know, sometimes you have to be, you can't be afraid of like rejection or being awkward, because that's going to happen. That's just part of life in general, right? If you apply for a job, you know, there's a chance you get rejected for that, right? But it's kind of the same way, right? You're going out and, talking about people about Christ, and when you feel that prompting, just kind of stepping out in that faith. And so, and then just other things that I felt like a lot of times just growing up in the church, where we talk, you know, you talk about fasting and prayer, but it was always kind of like something you did, but it was never actually like instilled. It's like, oh yeah, you should do this. And so actually being able to do some of that, has definitely been very, it was challenging, but very rewarding. which I don't know, I debate if I want to say this, you know, but if you're like sub 200 and you're doing fasting, you're kind of on fasting light, you know, you're basically doing a fast all the time. So I'm just kidding. You guys got it. I don't know if I'm half kidding, actually, I should say. I do think it's a little bit easier. but you can, don't judge me, okay? That's for God to judge me. But no, it's definitely something, though, that I've been happy to be a part of, enrich, and just kind of grow into somewhere where I can, you know, just be with other believers and be with my kids where they can kind of get that example and kind of get that experience. But yeah, definitely been excited to see that, how that journey goes, and hoping once the kids get a little bit bigger and, you know, a little bit easier, that I can be a little bit more involved in week to week instead of just doing the kids ministry, you know, once a month. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, something just got put on my heart that I wanted to share too. I feel like I've really gained a lot of insight and inspiration and faith through Enrich. I feel like Enrich, everything they teach is backed by the Bible, it seems like, and just growing and believing in who God says He is and like applying that to my life. I remember back when I first started going to Enrich, and we're at the old park, and there was one service that Jared did on healing, physical healing, and he prayed for, had some people come up and prayed for their physical healing. And remember, I'm still a newer believer, and I remember watching that and being like, I don't know about this. I don't know who this guy thinks he is. Like, a little bit, I was not on board, like, when I first saw that. And so just to see the progression of, okay, well, let me actually look at the Bible. Let me just kind of rising to, hey, am I going to actually believe who God says He is? Like, in His Word, that He does heal. That so that really challenged me, and, like, to see that in a church active, to believe in the gifts, to believe in healing, to believe all this stuff hasn't stopped, was just so important to me. And I definitely think that that was partly orchestrated for me, for God, because it wasn't long after that that I was then faced with a major health crisis, and where I was gonna need to draw on the faith of believing in who God says He is, and really praying into that and believing that. And and so, yeah, during my time here at Enrich, I got to experience a major medical miracle. And so to just see God's goodness in that, and to be challenged to greater faith. Yeah.
This is Richie again for this recording. So I was going to talk about this earlier, and I slipped my mind, but I was going to say just kind of something of encouragement is, I know with like the discipleship or the DBS, for a long time, I think I was getting pretty discouraged. Like, I didn't have anyone that kind of stuck or wanted to go through it. And you're like, Jared would check in with me. You'd come to, you know, on Sunday, you'd have to check in and be like, did you share with anyone, or like, how'd that go? Or did you start DBS? And, you know, it's pretty, you're kind of like, just, I was discouraged, and I was kind of bummed out, because I was like, oh, I don't have anyone yet, or I haven't found anyone that really wants to continue on or start. There was a couple people I did like one time with, and they just never wanted to do it. But now I actually have someone who's wanted to continue to do it. And he actually like hits me up and is like, hey, we're still on for this, right? Like, so that's been very encouraging for me to, you know, have someone you can actually share with and kind of continue with that. So if you haven't found that person, or, you know, whoever that God's calling to, right, sometimes, you know, we are called to be patient and wait on that, wait on the Lord. So I say don't give up, and don't feel bummed out either, right? Because sometimes it's just not that timing, right? Or, if you know, it might even be a season of your life where the Lord knows, hey, this isn't ready for you yet, or I'm still preparing that person for you. So hopefully that kind of just encourages you to keep going if you're struggling in that regard, like I was. So thanks.
Yes. So yeah, my name is Justin, and first of all, I just wanted to say how thankful I am for Enrich Church in general, because before coming to Enrich Church, I used to go to another church in Montebello called The Ark. And it's still a good church to this day. I don't have anything against that church, but I noticed that every time I would go to that church, I wasn't really growing from that church. Like, yeah, I was listening to the message, I was listening to the word, and I was applying it to myself, but I just felt like there was something more. I was kind of like, I was hungry for something more, because I'm like, okay, well, being a follower of Christ has to be more than just reading your Bible, going to church on Sunday, just shaking hands with random people, and just leaving church and going home. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna go home after church. But it was kind of nice, because obviously I used to walk my dog around this park all the time with my dad, and during this time when I would walk my dog with my dad, I would always see Enrich here, but I didn't know it was a church at first. I'm like, okay, people are gathering here, but like, who are these people? And I was kind of curious about it. And there was a couple of times where I wanted to approach Jared or George or somebody, but I was just too nervous to approach. And I'm like, oh, I'll do it next time. I'll do it next time. I was just like nervous and anxious. And it's kind of weird, because I feel like in some ways the Holy Spirit kind of called me here to Enrich Church. And I feel like it was kind of like in God's divine plan, because every time I would come here with my dad to walk my dog on Sunday, I always found myself looking at Enrich like, I would just like stare, like I would be over there or I would be over there by the tree, and I would just like stare at Enrich. I'm like, okay, something's calling me to over here for some reason. Then one day when I came here to Enrich, it was pretty nice, because I started talking to George and I started talking to Jared, and I told George, I'm like, hey, do you guys do like Bible study, and what kind of church are you? And it was funny, because instead of like George talking to me or Jared, I was like the one who was just asking a bunch of questions. I was just talking and talking and talking. Then eventually I exchanged information with George, and I started doing Bible study with Jared and George, and I just started coming here to church. And with Enrich, I just feel like I've grown so much, because Jared has shared things with me, and he sees like the potential in me that I've never saw within myself, because I tend to think kind of like negatively of myself, like, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that, because I'm an introvert, I'm shy, I'm nervous. And it's just crazy, because I've already done Jesus at Work about 2 to 3 times. And when I went to San Diego with Jared, like, I actually spoke in front of a bunch of people I didn't even know about. Like, I never knew them. They're just like random strangers, and I was able to give my testimony. To this day, I still get anxious, I still get nervous. I'm still an introvert at heart, but it just feels nice knowing that the Holy Spirit just gives me this inner strength to just talk in front of everybody, whether it's amongst you or other people. And it's just nice that I was able to overcome that, because I never saw or imagined myself like talking in front of people or kind of like breaking out of that introvertedness. So it just feels nice to feel that way. And I'm just so thankful to have Jared. I'm just thankful that God uses Jared as a vessel in order to do his work here on earth. And I'm just thankful that Jared takes the time to not only invest in me, but invest in everybody else here at Enrich, because it's kind of rare for me to see churches invest in people. So it just feels nice that Jared takes that time, like throughout his day, throughout his time, to just invest in people, whether it's through Bible study, discipleship, playing frisbee golf, or playing pickleball at the courts. So it's just nice. So yeah.
I'll say for me, like, what has impacted me the most is all of you. It's like the stories and journeying together, becoming friends and doing life and working through stuff and encouraging you and challenging you, and times like calling you out and saying like Jesus has more for you. And he's always laughing, right? And it's like, man, like, what an honor it is for me, and I'll include Meredith in this too. I think we both say this, like, an honor for us to like journey with you. And when you start out church planting, like when you're from scratch, you're just trying to get people to join what you think God is wanting to do. And, you know, you're meeting with people and trying to disciple all this stuff. But I told this to Anthony, he's like, when you start off with people, it's like, you're just trying to get it going. But then everybody becomes your friends, which is like really cool on the journey. So I just never knew like how much God would bless us with like all these amazing friends that we get to do life with. And, you know, call and text and hang out, go camping and like, you know, go to baptisms up in like Azusa Canyon, the river. Like, it's just like amazing things are like, hey, my life blew up. Do you have a chance for a phone call? Like, yeah, let's hop on, right? And so it's just, and then what's even cool for me, I think, like when we went up and did Justin's dad's baptism a couple weeks ago up in the river in Azusa, to hear like their testimonies of transformation, I was like, this is why I do what I do. Like, hear people's lives being transformed, but then what even like even more encouraging for me is like, then everyone takes it and does it with people that they know that I'll never be able to impact in any way. And I'm like, this is why we do what we do. It's like Jesus's life, death, and resurrection gives us the ability to see him transform lives and give people purpose and value and significance and like a destiny and a life that's worth living for. And so I think for us, it's like, it's the people, it's you guys that we get to journey with and do life with and grow as friends with. So thanks for being part of Enrich, because if you weren't here, like Enrich wouldn't be. And I'd still be in higher ed and doing whatever I would have done there, been going my own way, I guess. So thanks for being part of the crew, and love each of you guys and grateful for you. And so know that we're standing with you in prayer and in life, and let's do this together. So let me pray for us and we'll wrap up, and then Taco should be here pretty soon. Jesus, it's amazing to hear so many stories of impact and change that you've done. And we know that without your love and your power and the work of your spirit, none of these stories that we've heard today would be possible. And so we just want to give a big thank you to you for calling us by name as daughters and sons to be part of your family. And for those of us that are maybe getting to know you more or been with you a long time, you're there for each of us, and you're ready just to embrace us and invite us into your family of the church. So Jesus, thanks for being our leader of your church, and that we get to be part of Enrich, and knowing that there's a lot more churches beyond us that you're starting and will continue to do into the future. And so I think these stories are just reflections of the hundreds and thousands of other people that will be impacted through everyday people like everyone sitting here and standing here, everyday people like us who are just willing to give you a yes. So Jesus, thank you for the past 2 years that you've got us through, and you built us through, and you transformed us through. And we're excited for the next 8 years, getting us to 10 years of what you want to do and how you'll build and transform our families, how you'll lead us to the specific spouse that you have for us. We'll see new families built. We'll see marriages transformed, and our kids become older and love you and follow you with their whole lives. So thank you for embracing everyone here where they're at in their personal journey. And so Jesus, thank you. And we're excited for what's ahead. And so as we celebrate 2 years with some tacos and hanging out and being friends, and me beating everybody at the Frisbee game over here that we'll play. That was a joke, everyone. Okay. I can laugh in prayer. Okay. So Jesus, thank you. Yes, you bless the food to give us health in our bodies. And would you continue to build each of us for your kingdom and gospel purposes into the future? Jesus, we pray and ask this all in your name. Amen.